Hello, fellow bin listeners. This is our first international episode, and we start with a very special guest. We call him Oz, but his name is Darren. Hi, Darren.
Hello, how are you, Andy? Hello, listeners.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. The kids ate their dinner, so I'm happy.
Awesome. That's good. That's good. Yeah, my kids are sleeping already and stuff.
Oh, great.
Yeah. The listeners know it. Sometimes my daughter comes in, like, they hear her voice, and she's three, so it's pretty cute. It's awesome.
Oh, that's a great age. That's a great age.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I get three kids. The oldest one is five, the middle one is three, and another baby.
<It's> Well, I was just going to say, I've got two. I've got a 15-year-old boy and an incredibly precocious 11-year-old girl.
Oh, wow. That's like super interesting age, right? Oh,
yeah, I think that's the politest way I've ever heard that said.
There's a lot going on, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Like I mentioned, we call you Oz. Yeah, I don't know. It's like it's kind of a thing we do in our community. So we play a lot of Bot Up War Kill Team the last 2 years. It's kind of our main system we play. And like Oz, it's pretty fitting because for us, you are like kind of a magical individual, like something like the Wizard of Oz. You were like, haven't heard of you for like a pretty long time.
Two and a half years, on your Discord.
Everybody is like asking questions about the game because it's pretty big right now here in our community, and everybody's asking something about rules and how to use this weapon and is that allowed or that. And we didn't hear from you in a while, but now you're back and you're not that mystical anymore. So you're very present right now and doing a lot of stuff. You're working on Age of Darkness Kill Team 2024. It's like an update for your older version and
yes,
to fit into the new Kill Team rule set, right?
That's correct, yeah. And just today, I released the first draft of the Bad Ab War mod as well.
Yeah, just saw that and I'm pretty excited for it.
Yeah, good, I'm glad. Well, let me just say I'm absolutely delighted that you have a community playing not only Kill Team but my kind of humble offering, but I've also seen you run events where there's Battlefleet Gothic and then Kill Team and 40k and the whole kind of gamut. It's an amazing thing to see. It makes me very proud, I have to say.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we like had this podcast for a couple of years and it's always like we're like got in touch with Warhammer like 20 years or longer ago. So we're pretty much used to the old lore and really like the old Forge World books and all this stuff. And so we played and we are very enthusiastic about the Bot Up War and stuff. And then someone stumbled upon your Bot Up War mod and there's so much flavor in it and you play Space Marines and they really feel like their own chapter and it's so, so good. Like my favorite chapter are the Lamentus and it's so nice to have them with their own rules and fight these epic narrative battles. It's so, so good. And thank you very much for creating this. And like I said, in our community, we played it for the last 2 years, like had two big events, and we are pretty happy you created that. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm absolutely delighted, as I say. And if you or your community ever want to reach out, if they have questions, I'm more than happy to answer anything and to describe anything. What you mentioned there about the kind of the unique flavor of each chapter. I'm really pleased that that came across because I think that was the section that took the longest to try and do because I had to pull it from quite a few sources and then sit down and work out, like, you know, my own favorite chapter from that is the Flame Falcons. And so it was just sitting down and go, okay, what's the lore for the Flame Falcons from the books? What what is the type of warfare that they prefer to enact, and obviously then, you know, a few years after the Badab War, they disappear, and suddenly the Legion of the Damned appear. But that was that's another.
You mean the Firehawks?
The Firehawks. What did I say? The Flamefalcons. Apparently, the Firehawks are Flamefalcons. Not.
It could be. It could be one of these trashy names Games Workshop choose for their Space Marine chapters. You know?
Well, for some reason, it was in my mind. Yes, the Firehawks.
Oh yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah. Well, that's not embarrassing at all.
No, it's good. Yeah. We should call them that from now on. That's pretty.
Yeah,
good. Pretty fitting.
I had a really long love of the Badab War because that was the original White Dwarf issue was 101, I think. Mm-hmm. And that was the third White Dwarf I ever bought.
Is that the one with like the original Badab War lore? That was like, I think it never got released in Germany because we have another numbers. So you are kind of like 150 issues ahead of us, something like this. We started, I think in Germany, White Dwarf started around 1994. I don't know. My first White Dwarf was from 1997. But yeah, I have all this stuff, like bought it for our big Badab War project. We had this lore project where we like... translated the big Forge World books into German.
Amazing.
Via our podcast. So we had like, I think around 32 episodes about the Badab War, and we kind of translated the books for the German audience.
That's amazing.
Because it never came out here. Yeah. And there was this classic White Dwarf 101 issue was one topic. Yeah.
Yeah. My first issue of White Dwarf must have been 99. Yes, it was, because that was where the Legion of the Damned got their own little section in Rogue Trader for the Rogue Trader rules. Yeah.
Awesome. Great. So, first of all, I was thinking about what questions I should ask you, but then I just asked our community what they would ask you, and that was pretty easy for me. So your love for the Badab War is like the origin of your hobby career, I understand it right.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the first Space Marine Civil War. The Horus Heresy did not exist in publication for about maybe even 2 years after that issue. But yes, I even took the trouble to try and make the deodorant stick land speeder. I don't know if you've ever seen.
I know that. That's awesome. They still have it at the Warhammer World.
Oh, fantastic!
It's in a cabinet there, I think. Yeah.
I haven't been to Warhammer World in years.
We are going 2026. Maybe we can meet up there.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
So we have like our 5-year anniversary for the podcast and plan to go there again. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'd love to meet awesome. You guys.
We played Badab War last time we have been there. Yeah. So this is why Badab War is so special for you. But I think the first thing you wrote was the Age of Darkness expansion pack, right?
Yes, that was the Yes, the very first mod I did for a kill team was Age of Darkness. So the Horus Heresy, because both myself and my brother Ben absolutely adore the Horus Heresy story and wanted to get into Horus Heresy gaming, but neither of us had the £2,000 it would cost to create the full army on tabletop from Forge World. So kill teams seem to be the obvious answer for small squad-based games. I think it's more narrative as well, and that's what people really like about the Horus Heresy and the Bad Ab Wars, the story of it, the kind of small-scale action and the heroes that arise from that.
Totally. I think, like, with the main lore of Warhammer 40K right now, there's, like, the initial flavor is kind of gone. Like, this despair and, like, these broken heroes and very tragic characters doesn't really exist in that kind of manner, you know what I mean?
I do understand.
So yeah. The Bad Ab War and the Horus Heresy with all the black books released by Forge World, it was so much flavor they put into it, and it was I think Warhammer 40K is kind of like, the setting is like a post-apocalyptic thing with humans getting back into this very clerical and religious behavior, and everything is lost and it's so fucked up, you know? And this is what makes like these big settings like the Bad Ab War or Horus Heresy so special. And yeah, some bad tongues call it like the boomer hammer, but that's okay for me.
young people, aren't they great?
Yeah, great, awesome. They love Primaris Marines, right?
Oh, stop. the amount of messages I've got asking to make Bad Ab War for Primaris units.
Wow.
It's
kind of heretic to say, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't if you want to play the Primaris with the Bad Ab War mods for kill teams, just use the chapter. Use the existing right. official teams and just use the chapter specialties. That will be coming out, and that will work fine.
An easy thing to do, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just don't make me type it.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, in the end, it's like, do whatever makes you happy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. If you want Primaris, play some Primaris lore. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And so how long do you work on one of these rule sets? For us, it's just when we have them first and we were like checking the PDF files and we're like, this is crazy. It's like a rule book, and that was for us, it was like amazing. It was like, how much time do he put into it, and does he have a team or something to accomplish it? Is it just you doing all the stuff?
It's just me. I do everything on it from start to finish. So I do the first drafts, and what I used to do was do the initial playtesting. So I would just have a load of bases with the kind of miniature name written on it and use that for playtesting for the first couple of rounds. It's not really that challenging when it's all Space Marines, because you don't really have to worry too much about the balancing aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's when you start involving other, like, ordinary humans or ad mech or something like that, that it's you start to fiddle around a bit in a bit more detail. But yeah, so the complete first draft, and as I'm doing that, I'm also trying to get an idea of what the layout will look like and what assets there are available publicly that I can, steal and use and put in the mod. And so, like, a lot of the backgrounds and stuff are taken from websites and from, the limited time when Games Workshop issued EPUB files. It's fairly straightforward to get graphics out of those. But it just, yeah. So you then, for me, it's looking at I wanted it to look and feel as much like an official Games Workshop publication as possible, although clearly marked as unofficial and fan-made, just because I wanted the challenge of it. That's really what in terms of the layout, was for the first Horus Heresy mod. So I think the very first thing I do is come up with the cover, because that serves as the inspiration for the whole book. And then I'll sit down, start the rules and the units and the weapons and special rules. And while I'm doing that, because I get bored quite easily, I will change from, you know, I'll do some rule writing in a morning, and then the afternoon I'll do some graphics and layouts, and then back and forth between that until there's a good enough version, which I think can be play tested. Now, that's what I used to do. And it took somewhere between 8 months to a year for one book. I think I'm being a bit smarter about it this time by making the rules, like the first draft, available completely publicly, and then getting feedback on that, and then being able to change and update. And that allows me to see, my goal is to get a draft version updated every 2 weeks with feedback from people. And while that's happening, I can work on the layouts, which is the most time-consuming part of the whole process.
Yeah, but they look awesome. Let me just say
that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So good. Me and my best friend, he's also part of our podcast team. He got it printed for me and him.
Oh, amazing.
Gave it to me to my birthday. Oh. Like, it's hardcover rule book, and it's so good. It looks just awesome. And it's always, for me, like someone who plays Warhammer since the mid-90s, it's like, it's always nice to have like a real copy, like a hard copy of the book.
Yeah. And
like,
yeah,
while we are playing the game, we play it a lot, so it's always nice to have it in your hands and not just on your phone or something. And it looks really, really good.
That's great. What I think one of the things I'm going to try this time is to create, I'll go to one of these print-on-demand companies just for the templates, and so I can make a cover that would fit a template. If anyone wanted to print it for themselves, they wouldn't have to blow up the cover a bit too much. So make it a bit print-friendly. And I think as well, one of the things from the past few PDFs is people have said, stop using black pages, because if I'm printing it at home, it's very expensive.
It's true, right?
So we'll do a printer friendly version as well.
Oh yeah, that's good. And is there something, when you have like the finished version of it, you would have liked to add after the release, like special operative, support operative, something you don't really like after you released it and played it a couple of times, and you get like, I would like it better that way, or that support operative doesn't fit at all, and something like this. Is there something you would like to change, like, or like an alternative or something like this?
Yes, I think. Anyone who's ever done any writing, whether it's creative or for their work or what have you, will know that you never finish, you just stop. And so with Badab, with the previous edition or the one that's most finished and out there that you guys are using, I would like to rework the Terminators from the ground up. And I would like to have included in each chapter section a mission specific to that chapter, or that revolves around some incident that chapter was involved in the Badab War. And I had started to, before I stopped doing everything, I had started to put together a Badab War campaign. And I think I'd gotten to something like 24 or 25 missions.
Wow.
From the very start to the very end.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We did something like this on our own to get it rolling in our community. So we wrote some narrative scenarios around something that happened in the Battle War. And we started at the beginning with the Firehawks and the Marines Errant. And they were on this agri world. I think it was it Sagan? I don't know. So where the Firehawks massacred a lot of the civilian population of the planet. And we're creating scenarios around that with, like, you had a scenario and always have like 3 PDF pages or something like this to have some lore on it, have the mission, special rules. And yeah, based on your modification, we did something like this. And for the events, we created our own narrative around the planet Hyra. It's like, it's our homebrew planet where our event was taking place at. So we had this, and we had like little campaign booklets. I can send them to you.
Do please. I'd love to read them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're in German, but I think the Tyrant's Legion section and the Battlefleet Gothic section is in English.
Well, I read the Tyrant Legion section yesterday. One of your community sent it to me.
Yeah,
I thought it was
AKA the Unknown Fear, and Lucas, AKA Scripto Peter. They created it, and I really like it. It's cool.
I think it was absolutely perfect. I don't think there's any changes I would make to it. It was really good, very high quality. Yeah, so pleased to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, we integrated it, and some people played the Tyrant's Legion on our event and stuff like this. That was pretty cool. They will love that you liked it.
Oh, yeah, I love seeing people be creative, and in fact, I don't care what it is that they do if they're creative. We're already on good terms.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, that's like the most amazing part about this hobby. Like these whole different angles of creativity you get out of this hobby and out of Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, but I think the community's creativity, it might be controversial to say, but I think the community's creativity is sometimes a lot better than the official creations.
I think we are on the same page on that. it's always a topic on our podcast. Like GW is having like new releases, and for example, the Blood Angels release, I was so disappointed about it. I really don't like it at all.
What about it bothered you?
Yeah, I think the design wise, I think When you look at like other game systems from Games Workshop, like I really like the Horus Heresy releases. I really like the Age of Sigma style from like the modeling and stuff. Mm. Like Warcry is one of their best miniature lines. Necromunda is awesome.
Agreed.
But on Warhammer 40K, I don't know what's going on there really. I don't know if I'm not the audience anymore. I don't get it. It's like everything is so smooth and soft, like the grim dark. It's always there. Don't get me wrong. Like in the lore, it's always there. They like from like 20 novellas they release, there's one good novella and everything is fine. But on the tabletop, everything gets so smooth and everything looks so much like, I don't know, Fortnite or something. Crappy modern video games. Everything gets so round, and like there's a new Sanguinius Guard. They are like, they look like something an AI created, or like fan fiction or something like this. Like one of these third companies selling not Space Marine Galaxy Warriors or something like this. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. One of our Discord members described it as Warhammer 40K, the Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like these Inquisitor Cortez miniature, they just tease it.
Oh, with the big pants.
Wow. What's going on? Like, what's happening there? And it's like always when you see the book cover, I think another problem is they are releasing way too much books, like novellas and stuff like this. Like, it's not quality, it's more quantity, you know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
I always try to get into it again, because I don't want to be the guy that will always say, oh, Primaris Marines are shit and the new lore is shit. I don't want to be that guy. I always try to get into it over and over again, but most of the time I'm really disappointed about it. I just read Angron, the Red Angel.
Yeah.
No, I listened to it. If I had read it, I would have thrown it into the trash after the third chapter. It's like I think the audiobook was like 7 or 8 hours, I don't know. But
yeah,
most of the time I think 6 hours from the 7 hours was like very angry world eaters telling everybody how angry they are, and then they are fighting. The whole novella was like this. And they were like, I think, 6-7 little lore snippets about the first war of Armageddon that they were new. And our next big project are the Armageddon Wars, so that's the reason I listened to it. But I don't know, for like 6 or 7 little snippets of lore that were interesting, to read a whole crappy book, it's not worth it, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I enjoy the concept of the Primaris Marine, but they have to make them so blank and largely featureless, so that everyone can project their own kind of paint schemes and their own conversions. So I kind of understand it, but it still makes me shake my head every now and then.
Oh yeah, I think the biggest problem is like the design choices they make. Like, the normal Primaris Marine looks okay. I don't like them. I don't hate them. It's okay. They just look like a better Ultramarine, whatever, you know. Yeah. But every special unit is—they made design choices I don't get, you know.
It's what like, were the what were the ones like that the Nerf guns?
Oh yeah, that was crazy. Like, on the first Born range, there are just these Centurion superpower armor dudes I don't like. But on the Primaris Marines, it's like every special Marine is like, wow, he got a carbon six-pack and a skull mask that looks so sketchy. Yeah, like it's like these 13-year-old edgelord kid like dressing up for Halloween or something like this.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's crazy. It's like a big topic. We should stop talking about it.
And another thing.
Yeah. The next question I would have for you, to get away from all this Primaris topic, unless you want to say something to it to like end it forever.
No, I mean, like, people play the games they want to play. They use the units they want to use, and it's absolutely it's absolutely fine.
Yeah, totally.
But I think as long as you have alternatives and choices, as long as choices aren't being taken away from people,
yeah,
I think that's important. And I was really disappointed to see that Firstborn Astartes weren't in the official kill team updates for version 3.
Right. Yeah, they want to, like, slowly getting rid of them.
Yeah.
Especially with the success of, their video game branch and getting the movie rights to Amazon and stuff like this. I think, like, the original tabletop and what we know from Warhammer 40K from our childhood and from our teenage years will slowly, like, fade away.
I was just going to say, everything has its time, I suppose. So we probably should be a bit sanguine about it. But there's a lot of people who will have Firstborn Marines. In fact, there are probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of people who have firstborn Marines. It would be nice to be able to throw them a bone to, in terms of official rules, every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, with Horus Heresy, they are not gone at all, you know?
Yeah.
And we just started a slow grow campaign, Horus Heresy, and it's awesome. Don't get me wrong about that. But the main lore from Warhammer 40K, I don't know. They don't get me. I try it over and over again, but yeah, it's just, yeah.
Well, I suppose chopping the galaxy in half, they had to do something, you know?
Yeah. So what do you think about, like, getting this lore that stands still for so long, get it moving and getting new things into it and start the clock ticking again? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Getting new story elements and, like, changing stuff. Like, Games Workshop tried to avoid changing stuff for so many years and then there was this cut, and since then, like, there's stuff changing all the time, and new lore is coming, and it's evolving. What do you think about that?
We talked about this on our podcast in quite a bit, where it was, for a very long time, the Warhammer universes were a setting and not a narrative. They were a place where stories happen. They were not a story in themselves. So it was a framework for kind of smaller narrative games and, well, stories, narratives, I suppose. Yeah, the End Times was a unique way to move the story for Warhammer Fantasy. And I'm glad to see that they've come back to Warhammer the Old World. For 40K, I don't think, yeah, they were never going to destroy the universe, but I suspect they maybe felt it was time to freshen the setting. And so I pronounce it as the Cicatrix Maledictum, is the, you know, the angry wound across the galaxy. But also the Primarchs are back, which is cool, I suppose. And a complete new breed of Space Marine, which were designed at the end of the Horus Heresy, but kept in hibernation until now. Yeah. I don't have a problem with the Primaris Marines, but I just think the execution was a bit clumsy.
Yeah, I really, have you read these Spares of the Emperor novel?
I haven't, actually, no.
It's pretty, pretty good. Check it out as an audiobook or something. It's awesome. It's really, was like one of the first Primaris novellas I read, or novel. Why, I don't know. I don't really know the difference. I think a novel is longer, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I think a novella is something like 100 pages or less.
Ah, okay, it's a short story. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so I read one of the first Primaris novels I read, and I really, really like it. Like, the setting is kind of badab-ish. So there was like a section in the galaxy where some Space Marine chapters were put on, like, I think there were 3 chapters, to secure the area, something like the Maelstrom Waters.
Yeah.
And then the Cicatrix Maledictum, like, teared the galaxy in half, and they were on the dark side, like the Imperium Nihilus, right?
Yeah.
And so they had to, they are on their own, and one of these chapters of these new waters fell to chaos, one chapter disappeared, and these spares of the Emperors, or Emperor spares, were on their own without any support from the Imperium because of the Cicatrix Maledictum. But one of these Primaris fleets reached them and gave them the information and the knowledge to make Primaris Marines, but they don't have really had the technology for it. So they had like a trial and error phase to get Primaris Marines. It's pretty awesome. It's from Aaron Damski Bowden, so
he's one of the, in my opinion,
one of the best authors at Black Library. So it's very well executed, and I really love that story, and I would love to hear more about this from that author. But yeah, and I was like, yeah, Primaris, it's a pretty good idea, and I really like it. And then I read more and more novels and was like more and more disappointed about it. So it was like, oh man, I just picked the best novel to start, and then it just get worse, you know.
I really like just taking it back a bit, I think it was the Brothers of the Snake or Brotherhood of the Snake, the book by Dan Abnett, just about kind of a lone marine out with his speeder that's loaded with everything he would need.
Is it the Iron Snakes?
Yeah. Fighting against, I think it's the Dark Elder. That was a great book. Yeah, but that really gave you an idea of the rarity of Space Marines and the combat effectiveness of Space Marines against kind of the horror side of Warhammer 40K, kind of dark, the mysteries of the dark and the webway and so forth. I think I was really pleased to see they started doing a horror series of books.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
They had these investigation crime novels set it on Terra, right?
Yes, as well.
Going on around the throne, and yeah, they had like a dark pact with Dark Elder to keep the Golden Throne running and stuff like
That's
this.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But awesome, I like things. That they're exploring different genres of of novels. Totally. I wait with giddy anticipation for when they start doing Warhammer romance.
Oh yeah, that would be. have you read the Night Lords trilogy?
No.
Oh, there's kind of a romantic story in it. It's in a very dark and Night Lordish way, but it's a spark of romance in the grim darkness of the far future, I think.
Goodness.
It's great.
50 Shades of Curs.
Kind of something like this. You should read it. I think it's also from Aaron Damski Bowden. It's like my favorite book series in the Black Library.
I will jot that down and have a read of them.
It's so good.
I always love getting recommendations of books. So.
Oh yeah, they are great. Aaron Damski Bowden, everything he writes is pretty awesome. Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed by the last two Siege of Terror novels.
Yeah.
So yeah, Aaron Damski Bowden kind of kicked Dan Abnett from the throne, in my opinion. But yeah,
I think if you're ever doing the same thing for too long, you eventually it gets a bit corrupted. Yeah,
I think it was not the best strategy to stretch the final onto three books, but that's just my humble opinion. So let's get back to your project. So
here we go.
You told me about you play tested it with like bases with the names of the units written on it. Do you have any own kill teams?
I have a Word Bearers kill team for Horus Heresy. I have the Firehawks for Badab. And someone very kindly sent me a Dark Angels Firstborn kill team for 40K, for the official one. But I was trying to describe this to a friend of mine recently, where creating the PDFs is how I do gaming now. I don't really play the big games anymore, but I do still enjoy putting together a load of minis. And Well, I've started. My brother bought me a Flesh Eater Quartz, the army starter for Age of Sigmar. So I've been putting that together.
Oh, they look so nice.
Yeah, they're real good.
I think it's my favorite faction from Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, I just love the corrupted kind of nobility of it all.
Yeah, they look so nasty. I really love it.
Yeah. But in terms of Kill Team itself, I kind of like the look of the Gene Stealer Cult's kill teams, so I might collect that for the third edition. And I, because I've got my Word Bearers, I feel obligated now to get a Loyalist kill team together. And so I still don't know what Legion I'll go. But in terms of Badab, I like the, as I say, the Firehawks, the Mantis Warriors. They've got a really good scheme for painting. The Lamenters, although I can't really paint the kind of chessboard on the shoulder pads.
Yeah, the 3D printer is your best friend.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Oh, I tell you, yeah. My wife bought me a 3D printer for my birthday about 2 years ago, and she said it was the next day she realized what a mistake it was, because I just started churning out miniatures.
Oh, yeah.
As with everything else, I've not painted any. Or no, that's not true. I painted about six. Yeah.
Oh, wow. but I think the whole process is like a big part of the hobby.
It's
like,
oh, yeah.
3D printing is like a hobby in the hobby. Like when I bought my first 3D printer, it was like, in my imagination, it was like I put a USB stick into it and a full miniature is coming out of it, like in a magical kind of way. But the whole technical issue you have, and with supports and the layering, and oh my god, that was like, yeah, oh man, here we go again. It's another hobby in the hobby. It's like when you buy an airbrush and you're like, oh, everything's gonna be so much easier now, and then you're, oh fuck.
So it takes me, I think, about 7 hours to print say like boarding shields or some larger heavy weapons or something like that, because I've got it set to print layers every 1/50th of a millimeter. So it's really fine. I mean, you get a good curve on it as well. You don't see the kind of the striations that you see on some of them. What I love seeing every now and then is the miniature on Warhammer.com for a certain set, and you can clearly see it's been 3D printed.
Yeah, it's so bad. They had this, when this new enhanced Horus miniature came out, they had on an American kind of games day. It's another event, I don't know the name, but they had it, and it got stolen. And it was like one of these with the 3D printing lines on it, and it got stolen on the event. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So like the original prototype, the first painted enhanced Horus, got stolen. Awesome. What do you do with it? You cannot tell anybody. You cannot put it on eBay. You just have it at home, and we're like, I cannot tell my hobby friends. They will type it on any Discord, and we're like,
yeah, have it. Just keep it in a drawer and look at it every couple of days and think about the life of criminality that you've slipped into. Yeah,
right. the dark path.
Oh, absolutely.
To get your own horrors. Yeah. Yeah. If you need in our community, like, I think they're, every kill team and every faction is like present with kind of a high standard of painting. If you ever need photos or something, just hit me up for specific units or something like this. We're not using only GW parts. Let me say that.
Yeah, well, that doesn't bother me at all.
There are so many great digital artists. They do like true scale Space Marines, Firstborn Space Marines, and this is like kind of our thing.
Well, what I really need for the Badab War PDF will be examples. You know, like on the Kill Team data sheets, they have an image of the unit that's been discussed. So I will need as many different versions of those units as possible in all kinds of different chapters. I think in the first Age of Darkness mod for Kill Team 18, way back when, I had a gamer's gallery where I had examples from people. I asked, kind of hunted them down on Instagram and got them to send me pictures so that I could put them into the PDF. So I'd love to be able to do something like that. And if your community can do it, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah.
I had something in the booklets I created and layouted for our events. We had like a gallery and called it Evie Butt-Up. And one of the guys in our podcast team is a tattoo artist. And so he draws all the covers, all the logos, and all little sketches for us. And he created like... I will send it to you after the recording.
Yeah.
He created like a little, like in the old White Wolf, you had this heavy metal section.
Yes, yeah.
With this Chaos Warrior smashing the Age of Heavy with his axe. You remember that?
Yes, I do actually.
So we have that with heavy butt up, and it's not a Chaos Warrior smashing the Age. It's a Astral Claw smashing the Age.
Amazing.
I will send it to you. It's pretty great. So, yeah, we had this little section with people from our community sending in their pictures of the miniatures, and we had like this section where we honor them.
Oh, fantastic. Well, listen, I would love to, if you're ever going to do an event, I'd be more than happy to write up some scenarios or a mini campaign or something for you guys. As
that
a thank
would be
you
to crazy.
Thank
yeah,
you for your support.
Yeah, thank you
yeah,
for your great modifications. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. I think we have our little show. It's normally at 30 minutes. We're almost talking an hour, and it was so nice having you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
As
I say, I'm absolutely destroyed with pride, as we would say in Ireland, about you guys using my little mod and, you know, building a community and ongoing support structure and even having meetups. It blows my mind. I'm really pleased.
Yeah, it's blowing my mind, and I'm so excited to having you here and have a little chat about your work. And yeah, it's so great having you. And yeah, you got your own Discord server where a lot is going on in the last couple of days.
Yeah, just well, it's been quiet for 2.5 years, so it was due to be livened up a bit. Yeah
So great you are back, and you have your great and very funny podcast. I really like the concept. Laying down the lore, you have a version for Warhammer Fantasy and a version for Warhammer 40k, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm still trying to get the guys to do other versions as well, but they have these annoying things called jobs, so they don't have much time. So I'm just sat at home trying to work out what I'm going to do with my life next. So, the podcast, it's been going for 3.5 years now. Yeah, we're just coming to the end of the introduction episodes for Warhammer 40K.
Yeah,
we started out thinking we'd do 6, and we've ended up doing 33.
Yeah, really awesome. Yeah, when you were like in the last episodes of the Warhammer Fantasy one, I was like, that's a guy from the Butter War mod. I wasn't... Sometimes it's like when you just hear voices and you know just names and don't have faces for it. Sometimes it's like you doesn't connect the dots. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know exactly. What
and
you
then,
mean, yeah.
And then I was like, that's a guy. And then you guys announced that you're doing a 40k version, and I was like, oh my god, that's so great.
But, yeah, it's It's been really good. We've kind of structured it like the kind of the United Kingdom school system, where I'm trying to teach two lads who don't want to listen.
Yeah.
So yeah, my brother, my younger brother Ben. Sorry, yeah.
No. You were talking. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say. So it's my younger brother Ben, who does the kind of hosting, and then Chris Crowlin, as we call him, is a gift from God. He is the funniest person I've ever met in my life. But don't tell him I said anything nice about him.
Okay, no, I wouldn't. They will probably listen to that episode from our podcast.
I'll send it to them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we will do some collaboration on Instagram and stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
Is there something else to say? Is there something you want to say?
No, I was looking at the schedule this morning, so I'm really hopeful I can get the Bad Ab mod laid out towards the end of January, middle of February next year.
Yeah.
So it's four and a half months, maybe, ish.
Yeah. But don't feel pressured by us. Yeah. You just decided to make both mods at the same time, and it's like we are so happy. But yeah, everything needs time, and yeah.
Yeah.
The hobby can be stressful from time to time, especially when you have like big projects and you have like a deadline and stuff like this. So
that's true. But as with painting, and I got this bit of advice from someone years ago was, your miniature will look terrible until the last 5%.
That's so true.
Where it all starts coming together. So I'm desperate to get to the last 5% of everything, so that I can kind of feel some joy, some sense of accomplishment. Do I have anything else other to announce? No, not at this time. If you have me back in a few months' time, or if you want to have another chat once the mod has been released next year, I might have more to announce then.
Nice. Yeah. We will see you again and talk to you again. I really liked it. It was really like the first international version of our podcast, and I'm pretty happy how it turned out.
Yeah, me too. You're a very generous host. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. It was nice to having you, and have a nice evening, Darren.
Yeah, you too. And let me just say again, a hello to your community, and everyone should feel free to send me a message if they have a question or just say hi. I'm very open and approachable. Looking forward to hearing from you guys.
That's so good. Yeah, you will hear from us. We will. I think some guys will. Use your drafts on the battlefield tomorrow night. Yeah, we will meet up to play tomorrow night, and it's a pretty big part of our community is having like a get together tomorrow, and I think someone will play Bad Ab War and will have a look into your new drafts you just released.
Yeah, well, now that means I have to actually finish the master list of weapons and have it ready for tomorrow lunchtime.
No. Don't feel pressured. We are very like. We can fit into new situations, like a lot of experienced tabletopers or tabletop gamers there, they will put the puzzle parts and have a good game and get an idea.
Well,
you know what
good.
I mean?
Well, I'd love to hear what the initial thoughts are from people. I especially want to hear about stuff that doesn't work or doesn't make any sense, because. Okay. If I can get it to work for everyone, that's the dream.
Yeah, when we played a couple of rounds, I will text you a little summary.
Good, that'd be great.
How the experience was. Sure. So yeah, thank you for being our guest, and
thank you for having me.
Like I said, have a nice evening.
You too.
Bye bye.
Cheerio. Bye.